Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Ayin Bet Amud Bet, on the last line. The Gemara asks the question, Mai Makom Dira? What establishes a person's location? If you want to know where they live, I have this question, Halacha comes up, they wrote Chanukah, other places where we need to know where a person actually resides. So too, for Eruvin, we want to know, where is this person's Makom Dira? As we saw before, it makes a difference. Because if a person has a Beit Dira, that's not necessarily Oser on the B'nai Chatzer or the B'nai Mavui. It's only when it's his Makom Dira. It's a place where he actually lives. So we want to know, or what's the determining factor as to where a person lives. So Rav Amar Makom Pita, it's where he eats. That's considered to be his location. That's considered to be where he lives. Shmu Amar Makom Lina, where he sleeps. So the question is when those two are split. Normally, a person eats and sleeps in the same location. But there are instances where persons location where he eats and the place where the location where he sleeps are actually different. And because of that, we have to determine, or there's a machloket here as to where that will be his location. Meitve. Haroim, the shepherds of Akaitzin. Kaitzin comes from the word kaitz, and like kaitz means to designate or to put into the muksa, to push out of one's mind. It also comes from the word kaitz, which is the summer. They're all related because during the summertime, they used to put the fruits out in the field to dry out, and to have them at the end of the summer. What's called tziot, or mukse, all come from the same shoresh, which is during the summertime, they put the fruits out, and that is called tziot, things that were cut and left out in the field to dry, and they're kept in the mukse. That's a place where they leave them because you forget about them, you push them out of your mind. So the kaitzin are people who guard the fruit that is drying in the fields. Haburganim, who we bumped into before, those are people who are living in these huts, these straw huts. Bishomrei peirot, are people who are guarding the peirot. Bizman shedarkan alin ba'ir. If they come back to sleep in the city, harein ki anshei ha'ir, then they are like residents of the city. Bizman shedarkan alin ba'sadeh, in an instance where they sleep out in the fields, ishlem apayim l'chol ruach. Then they have 2,000 amot in every direction. So if they sleep in the field for their tchumin, for the tchum Shabbat, then their tchum Shabbat is determined by where they sleep, 2,000 amot in every direction. If they return to the city every night to sleep, then their residence is in the city, and their tchum is determined by the city. So even though they're 2,000 amot away from the city, as long as they can reach the city, then they get the whole city like it's Dalet Amot, because they really live in the city. That's their considered their place of residence. So here, clear that the Braita is viewing Makom Lina as the determining factor for your Makom Dira. So Gemara says, Hatam Anan Sadeh, says over there, we can prove or we can show you, Dim Matalu Rifta Hatam Tvei Nechaluhu. That if they came in, they come into the city to eat. So when they come into the city to eat, then when they sleep out in the field, it seems like the halacha is like Shmuel, that Makom Lina governs in this case. The Gemara says, well, maybe not. We can answer on behalf of Rav that that's not necessarily true. The reason they come in to eat in the city is that's because that's where the food is found. But that's not necessarily where they want the food. As David said before, if you brought the food out to them in the field, they would much prefer to remain in the field. So when they sleep out in the field and then they come to eat in the city, it's not the fact that they sleep in the field which is determining. It's the fact that if we brought the food to them in the field, they would eat there. It would be more convenient for them. They would actually like it better. So even though they're eating in the city, they're eating in the city because that's the only way they can eat. But if you, at a convenience, brought it out to them in this field, they would continue to eat there. So it's not simply Makom Lina. It's not just the place they sleep. It's also really the place they would have eaten had there been food available. Problem is that there's no food available, so they can't eat there. But if you made it available, they would have eaten there. And that's why, even according to Rav, over here would be considered to be their residence. I'm Rav Yosef, Lushmeli Hashmaita. We've seen this numerous times throughout the Masechta. Already, Rav Yosef says, I've never heard this. Never heard this means I never heard that Rav and Shmuel argue about this issue or discuss this issue of Makom Lina versus Makom Pita. Amarle Abaye, a student Abaye, reminds him, Rav Yosef fell ill, forgot his learning. Talmud Abaye reminds him of things that he had said prior to falling ill. Ata Martni Alan, you had already told us about this. Vaha Martni Alan, and this is about which you said it. Achim, Shayu Ochlim, Al Shulchan Abiyem, brothers that are eating by their father's table. Vishenim Bebatehem, but they sleep in their own private residence. Tzrichim Eruv l'kol echad ve'echad. They require an Eruv for each individual. V'amrinan l'cha. From that we said to you, Shvamina makom lina goreim. From our Mishnah, it seems that the conclusive proof is that where you sleep matters. That's your makom dira, is determined by the place that you sleep. That was the first line the Gemara said right out of the Mishnah. Same line as this. And you said to us, V'amartlan Allah. On that statement, you said to us, Amar Rav Yehuda Marav. Rav Yehuda says, no, don't read our Mishnah that way, but rather our Mishnah is b'bekabele pras shanu. It's not a case where the children are eating on their father's table and sleeping in their own residence, and that would prove that makom lina is goreim, but rather they're also eating in their own residence. They sleep there and they eat there. So what does it have to do with their father? The father is providing the stipend for them to eat. He provides them the monetary means to eat, but they don't necessarily eat at his table. So now we don't have any proof, because now you're both eating and sleeping in your house. So maybe it's makom lina goreim, maybe it's makom pita goreim. But you see from this that Rav was answering the problem in the Mishnah and calling it, he didn't want it to be makom lina. He didn't want to prove makom lina. He was trying to change it so that it could also be makom pita, the place that he ate. So you see that Rav Yosef himself indicated there was such a machloket between Rav and Shmuel about makom lina versus makom pita. Tan Rabbanan, mi sheyesh lo chamesh nashim mekablot pras mi baleihen, chamisha avadim mekablim pras mi rabeihen. You have in your chatzer, there's a individual who has five wives. Each one has their own house inside of this chatzer, and he provides them with food. They eat in their own house. He provides them with the food, but they each have a separate house. Same with servants. His five servants that live in the chatzer, each one has his own residence, and he also provides food for them. Question is, are they considered to be tethered to, whether it's the husband or the adon, the master over here, or are they considered to be separate residences? So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira matir binashim v'oser v'avadim. He says that when it comes to the avadim, then they do not connect it to him anymore. The fact that they have independent residences, and even if he's providing them with the food, that's not enough to connect them. You have to have an eruv from each one of them. On the other hand, it's matir binashim. By the women, he says that's mutar because they really are tethered to the husband. They're much more connected to the husband. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bobo matir b'avadim v'osir b'nashim. He says the opposite. He says, by the avadim, they're really connected to the master. The nashim, even though they're married to this individual, but they still are able to attain an independent residence, and they will have to give into the eruv separately. Amarav, my time at Rabbi Yehuda ben Bovo. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Yehuda ben Bovo's position? Dichtiv. Because it says about Daniel, but Daniel betra malko. That Daniel was in the gate of the king. And the truth is that Daniel was not always Bitra Malka. He was not always in the gate of the king or the gateway of the king. But because he worked for the king and he was a servant of the king, he was considered as if he was always in the gate of the king. So you see that an Eved is considered to be tethered to his master, even if he's not present or directly in front of his master. He's always has the shame of his master on him, and he's connected to him. What Tosafot points out here is the Rach, the Rabbeinu Chananel, says here that it's almost a double entendre, because not only is this a proof to the fact that the Eved is always called this way, but it also the word Tra, which is a gateway. We know in Aramaic, what is a gateway? You have that with the Masechtot, Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, and Baba Batra. Those are gates. The first gate, the middle gate, and the last gate. So Baba. So he says the play here is that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is the one who says that the Avadim are connected to the Adon. And therefore he brings the proof from Daniel Betra Malka. Daniel is a servant to the king, is Betra in the gateway, which is the Bava of the king. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is the author of the position that the Avadim are the ones that are considered to be tethered to their Adon. So he says it's a Siman plus a Siba. It has both embedded inside of it. So Gemara says, Pshita, it's obvious that ben etzel aviv, that we know the din by a ben to a father, hidamran. That's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says when the children are mekablei pras, they're considered to be a part of the father's table, unless there are other people in the area, and then if there are other people in the area, then they do cause a problem, they have to join into the eruv. That's one. Number two is, isha etzel bala, ve'eved etzel rabo, when it's made a woman with her husband, or avadim, servants, and their master. Again, here we're talking about separate residences where they're getting a stipend from the main party. Over there, that's the plukta, that's the machlok between Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira and Rabbi Yehuda ben Bavot, which we just saw. Gemara now queries about Talmid Eitzel Rabo. My. A student by his Rebbe, what's his din? Does his din change? Where is he more like a son, it's the father? Or is he more like an Isha with her husband or an Eved with Rabbo? Where does he fall in terms of the category? Tashma. The Rav, Bei Rabbi Chia Amar. So Rav, who was in the Beit Midrash or learned by Rabbi Chia, he used to say, Ein anu tzrichim l'arev, sh'rei anu sumchim al shulchano shel Rabbi Chia. That we don't have to make an Eruv because we rely on the Shulchan. We are dependent on Rabbi Chia for our sustenance, for our meals, for our food. So because of that, we don't require an independent Eruv, and we're all considered to be one entity. Now, Rashi explains here that this is a case where they received a stipend from the Rebbe. They used to come live there. He paid them a stipend in order so that they had means to eat. It's not that he was eating necessarily in Beit Rabbi Chia. He had his own independent residence. He lived in his own residence. He ate in his own residence. He just got the money to pay for his means or sustenance from Rabbi Chia. Remember, Rav is a Talmid of Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia is his uncle. His uncle from both sides, both from his mother and his father's side. And he learns by Rabbi Chia. And then we have the second statement, which is Rabbi Chia Bei Rabbi. Amar Ein Anu Tzrichim L'Arev, Sh'ri Anu Sumchim Al Shulchano Shel Rabbi. Rabbi Chia was a Talmid of Rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and he says that when we were by Rabbi, then we didn't need an Eruv because, again, same setup. I might have had my own private residence, I ate in my own residence, but nevertheless, I was given a stipend from Rabbi, and we're considered to be one entity. We're considered to be dependent on the Rebbe, and because of that, we don't have to make a separate Eruv. We're considered to be one group of individuals. And so we know that Rav is a Talmud of Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Chia is a Talmud of Rabbi, and the story in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in the first couple of Daf Sanhedrin, where Rabbi Chia was trying to get Rav Smicha from Rabbi, and it didn't work out so well, or Rabbi didn't want to give Rav Smicha for different reasons, the Gemara speaks about over there. But we know that Rav was a Talmud of Rabbi Chia, and Rabbi Chia was a Talmud of Rabbi, and they both describe in their situations that they didn't feel they needed an Eruv in that case. Abaye asks of Rabbo, Chamisha shegavu et Eruvan. Five individuals who put together an Eruv, kishemolichim et Eruvan lemakom acher, when they then transport the Eruv to another location, Eruv echad lekulan, otzrichim Eruv lekol echad v'echad. Is it simply enough that the Eruv that they put together can now be transported to the new location? For instance, they want to join with another chatzer. They want to join in the shituf mivaot. Do they just take the Eruv they already have put in place and then transfer that over to the other location? That's enough. One person can do it and that one Eruv is sufficient. Or do we have to have each individual take it over and each individual contribute again to have that joint Eruv? Independent of the question of whether you need Shittim Vodot and Eruv Chatzerot, but assuming that you paskin like the Rabbanan, that it's sufficient to have one of the two, and only that case only comes up when you have doorways between the Chatzerot. If they simply had a Mavui, it wouldn't necessarily be a problem. You may not need both of them in that case. The bigger problem here is that we've had this already. This is the third time the Gemara has brought this issue up. And we already had an explicit braita that we quoted on Friday's daf, where they asked, who is this braita like Beit Hillel or Beit Shammai? And the Gemara said, well, it depends. If going to first Lashana, it was like Beit Hillel. Going to second Lashana, it was like neither. But we have an explicit braita that has this answer. Why is Abaye querying Rabbo if we already have this braita which gives us the information? So you have two possibilities. One is that he didn't hear about the Braita. Abaye was not aware of this Braita. That's what Rashi proposes. That first answer is that he didn't know about it. The second possibility is that, according to Rashi, he knew about the Braita, but he was asking Rabbo, is Allah like the Braita or not like the Braita? Tosafot takes it one step further and says he doesn't even care about this case. He's using this as a stepping stone to ask a question from our Mishnah. So he knows the answer to the question. He just posing the question to Rabbo, so he'll get the answer, and then he'll ask his question. So it's an entree to the question that's about to come. So that's why it's brought over here. So Amarle, Eruv Echad, the Kulan, says it's sufficient. One Eruv is sufficient for all of them. Their joint Eruv can be used to join with the next Chatzer, or into the Shittuf Mevot, as well as one person can do it on behalf of all of them. Veha, and here's the question from our Mishnah. Ha Achim, Dechigavu Dami, brothers, when they all live in the same Chatzer, it's as if they are joined together. Uktani tzuchim eruv lekol echad v'echad. Yet our Mishnah demands a separate eruv from each one of them. How come we don't say it? It's as if they're one entity? And then if they're one entity, they place into the Eruv a singular Eruv. Hacha b'yaskinon. He says, no. That case in the Mishnah is going to Ika Diyurim v'hadayu. That in that case, there are other members or other residents in the Chatzer. If they're alone in the Chatzer, ain't Ochanami. Number one is we don't need a separate Eruv. They don't need an Eruv at all if they're the only residents in this Chatzer. Number two is if they're going to join another group, if they're going to join with another chatzer, they only need one eruv to take care of it. But if there are other people besides the family inside of the chatzer, then migo dehane asrei haninami asrei migo, because the other parties there, the independent parties who are not part of the family, they cause a problem, and once they cause a problem, the whole thing unravels, and each one of the brothers now becomes a separate entity. And they have to contribute separately into the Eruv. Says, Hachanami Mistavra, that makes sense. Diktani, because our Mishnah says, Eimatai, when is that true? B'mazman shemolichim et Eruvam b'makom acher. That's true when they take their Eruv somewhere else. Avalim haya Eruvam ba'itzlam, but if the Eruv is placed with them, oh, she'ein durim ayem b'chatzer, ein tzrichim la'rev. Or, if there are no other residents in this area, then they don't have to make an Eruv. Shema Mina. From there you can see clearly that the Mishnah is distinguishing between whether there are other parties here or there are not other parties here. When there are other parties here, it's clear that we view them as separate entities, as being distinct. Whereas when there aren't other parties there, we view them as being a single entity. And therefore when the Eruv ends up with them, they only need that. That's fine. They don't have to have separate Eruvin when the Eruv comes over to them, because they're considered to be one party. But that's only when there are no other residents in this chatzer. As soon as you enter in other residents to the chatzer, we have a problem. So that distinction is proper, but that distinction makes sense about how the other residents impact on the brothers. Without the other residents, one entity. With other residents, then they become multiple entities. And that's why over there, they have to have an Eruv to call Echad V'Echad. It's not because this is different than the Braita, or he is arguing on the Braita that we saw before, that you can take one Eruv for all the parties. That's not true. Over here, you can take one Eruv for all the parties. It's just a question, how many parties do you have here? If there are no other residents there, you have one party. If there are other residents there, then you have multiple parties. And that's why they have to give in to the Eruv separately, not because we demand that each party give in to the Eruv when you want to put the Eruv in another location. And then from there we would conclude that if it was a chatzer that wanted to carry their Eruv over to the other chatzer, they could just take whatever they've gathered already, or a single Eruv on behalf of all of them and pass it on to the other side. They have the students of the academy. They eat their bread in Bago. Rashi says is a beit ushpiza bebika, in some sort of bed and breakfast out in the fields. But they sleep in the yeshiva, in the dorms. Ki mashchinan lehu tchuma. When we measure the tchum for them, mi bei rav mashchinan lehu, or mi bago mashchinan lehu. Do you measure the tchum from where they sleep in the dorms, or do you measure it from where they eat in the baga, in the bed and breakfast? Amalei mashchinan bibei rav. We measure it from where they sleep. Vaharei notain et eruvo betoch alpay mama. So wait a minute. If a person puts down his eruv, it's a normal person who lives at home, and he puts down his eruv within 2,000 amot of his house. Va'ati ubayit bibeite. And that night, he goes and sleeps at home. The classic case of Eruv Tchumin. The classic case of Eruv Tchumin, which is where you want to go in a certain direction. You're going to stay in your house at night, but you put out the Eruv 2,000 amot away from your house, or a little less than 2,000 amot away from your house. So the next day, you can go to that Eruv, and then 2,000 amot beyond that. In that case, where's your food? Your food is at where the Eruv is, because your Makom Achila is determined by where the bread is. And you put out the Eruv, the bread's out there, that's your Makom Achila. Yet, at night, what are you going to do? You come home and you reside, you sleep in your own home. Over there, we don't say that the tchumim is measured where you sleep at night, from the where you slept at night. We say it's measured from where you put out the eruv tchumim. So why over here are you saying about these students that it's determined by where they sleep and not by where they eat? It seems to be that the governing factor here is where you eat, not where you sleep. So over there we say, mashchinan lehu tchuma me'eruvei. We measure the tchum from where they put the eruv out. So again, the Gemara answers similar to what it did before. Bahu anan sade. Over there, again, we know. Ubahada anan sade. Over there, we know what he wants to do. And over here, we know what he wants to do. In that there's overwhelming evidence as to what the best situation would be. For the truth is that if this guy had a house out where his Eruv was, that's where he would be right now. He would much prefer to sleep where his food is, where he put out the Eruv. The reason he had to put out the Eruv is because he needs to travel in that direction tomorrow. But the problem is he doesn't have anywhere to stay over there. So he goes back home to sleep. Had he had a house or a place to sleep over there, that's where he would have wanted to stay. So even though he goes home to sleep, he really doesn't want to be there. He wants to sleep and eat where his Eruv is. It's just not possible. It's not plausible for him to do it because he doesn't have a residence there. So we know where his true intentions are. His true intentions are really to live or to be by the Eruv. It's a matter of convenience that he can't. So where do we call his Eruv, or where do we determine his Eruv from? Where the Eruv is. On the other hand, Uvhada Anansade. Over here also, by the students, we know what the truth is. If you brought them their food by the dorms, they would never leave the dorms. They would stay there, where they're learning, where they're sleeping, and they would never leave. The only reason they leave is because the food is provided somewhere else. They have to go there to eat. But it's just a matter of necessity, not convenience. Had they had the ability to eat where they are, that's where they would have stayed. So in both of these cases, we look at what the person really wants, not necessarily what they're doing. So yes, you might have a machloket about makom lina and makom pita. But over here, both of them really don't matter. Because where does the person really want to be? The Bei Rav, where they sleep, is where they want to be. Because that's where they learn, that's where they sleep. Had you brought the food there, that's where they would have stayed. They go to get the food, because that's the only place they can get the food. So that's, makom pita is not really a location for them. It's not a makom dira for them. It's just a matter of necessity. And the same thing is true by the person who puts out his Eruv. When he puts out his Eruv, where does he want to be? He wants to be out where his Eruv is, because that's where it's most convenient. That's where it would be the best situation for him. The reason he goes home, again, is a matter of necessity. He goes home because he has no chance to live out there. He doesn't have a house out there. He can't stay there. But if you really ask him, he'd want to stay there, and therefore becomes his makom dira. It's his makom lina and his makom pita. In both cases, we say that he has both makom pita and lina in the same location. Because of some necessity, he has to give up one of them in that location. So, Bayi Rami Barachama Miravista. Av ubino farav vitalmido kurabim dami oki yochidim dami. You have a father and a son, a Rebbe and a Talmid. Are they considered to be multiple parties or individual parties? Tzrichim Eruv or ain't Tzrichim Eruv? Do they need an Eruv or do they not need an Eruv? Mavoi shalem nitar belechi bikorah or ain't nitar belechi bikorah? Their mavoi, can you use the lechi and korah to allow you to carry there, or is that not to work in this case? Now truthfully, this question, we've already answered this question about Abu Bno, Talmid v'Rabo. Seems to be that we've addressed that about what their status is and how they interact or relate to the party that's there. Our Mishnah talks about Abu Bno. We just spoke about Talmid v'Rabo. We spoke about these situations. And for that reason, it's a little bit strange that the Gemara is actually raising the question here. Rashi explains the situation, which is a situation when you have a captive chatzer. You have one chatzer within another chatzer. And that captive chatzer, in the inner chatzer, you have a father and son. In the inner chatzer, you have a Talmid and a Rebbe. Are they considered to be one entity, and therefore they're allowed to carry there? And that means it's a regular hamuteret bimkoma. In their chatzer itself, they're allowed to carry. When they have rights to walk through the outer chatzer, they don't affect the outer chatzer, because regular hamuteret bimkoma is not oser shalo bimkoma. It does not affect the outer chatzer. If the outer chatzer made their own eruv, the outer chatzer could carry, and the inner chatzer could carry. They can't carry between each other, but each one independently could carry. If you say they're considered to be separate entities, that means in the inner chatzer, they're problematic for each other, and they didn't make an eruv. If they're oseret bimkoma, then they ruin it for the outer chatzer. Even if the outer chatzer makes their own independent eruv, the fact that the inner chatzer can walk through there and they're osrim, that's a problem. So that's the question being asked here according to Rashi. Still, that same question, even though he's formulated or made a different case, it's still the same question that's being asked in the Mishnah and the question that we asked before. So why is it relevant over here? Tosafot says that he's focusing on Mekabli Pras. That's really the question over here, the question about Mekabli Pras. In the end, he backs away a little bit from that explanation and says something similar to Rashi, which is, it's really an imtim tzolomar. It's a question that once you've established that a father and a son and a Rebbe and a Talmid have a certain relationship, how does that relate to Mavoi? For Mavoi, we need chatzerot and batim ptuchim lo. We need multiple chatzerot and multiple houses that are opening up into the Mavoi. If we, which is what's going to happen here, if we consider an Av and a Benen, or a Talmid and a Rav to be one entity, and they don't require a separate eruv, what is their relationship with the Mavoi? They do live in separate houses. They do live in a separate chatzer. How do we view that?
Do we consider them to be one entity? And therefore you can't be matir in the mavoi because the mavoi does not attain the status of a mavoi. It doesn't have multiple chatzirot and multiple betim because they're all considered to be one. Or do we say that the reality is that you have multiple chatzirot, multiple houses, which happens to be they don't require an eruv chatzirot over here. How do we view the mavoi in that context? And that's what the Gemara really is addressing over here. Amalei, tenitua, we learned in the Mishnah. Avu b'no, a rabbi tell me do, b'zman she'ein in mahem di'urin, as long as they do not have other parties that are there, harein ki yichidim ve'in tzrichim le'arev. They're considered to be a single entity, and they don't require an eruv. But despite that fact, umavoi shalem nitar b'lechi b'korah. Their mavoi, if you use the lechi b'korah, can be nitar. You can carry into the mavoi, because even though they're considered one entity, as far as the eruv chatzirot is considered, that they don't need to have an eruv chatzirot, nevertheless, in terms of the mavoi, or the relationship to the mavoi, they're considered to be separate entities enough to make it that the mavoi can have a lechi and korah and everything will be fine. So for instance, in a single mavoi, we have two chatzirot that extend off the mavoi, and each of those chatzirot has parties in it. One of them has a father and a son, the other one has another two of his sons in it. So in terms of eruv chatzirot, they don't require any eruv chatzirot over here because they are considered to be one entity. They're one party. And they, in a sense, they don't even need a shituf mivaot because they're all one party. But the mavoi is still considered to have two chatzirot and multiple batim coming off of it because in reality there are multiple chatzirot and batim. And if they put up a lechi and a korah at the end of the mavoi, they can carry in the mavoi. Despite the fact that they do not require, there's no necessity for eruv over here, it still has the effect of making this into a mavoi that can have a lechi and a korah on it and allow you to carry in that mavoi. So that's the Gemara's conclusion as to the almost duality of how we view this Avin Beno and Rav and Talmido, that in one sense they're considered to be one entity for eruv, in the other sense they're considered to be multiple parties when viewing them in context of the mavoi so that you can use a lechi and a korah. They don't need it because it's like an eruv chatzirot, where they're not considered to be multiple parties. But in terms of allowing them to use a lechi and a korah to carry within the mavoi, that's fine. So they just put up a korah, a lechi at the end of their mavoi, and they'll be able to carry there. Alright, next Mishnah. Chamesh chatzirot tuchot zuluzu, up tuchot the mavoi. This is a case that we are familiar with. That's the case where we had the machloket Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan before, as to whether shituf mivot and eruv chatzirot are both a necessity here, or one will suffice. So you have five adjacent chatzirot, each one of which opens up into the mavoi, but also there's a connection between them. You can see the picture in Rashi. Pretty straightforward case. So then what happened? Irvu b'chatzirot. They made an eruv in the chatzirot between them, which allows them to carry from the one chatzir to the other chatzir. And they didn't make a shituf mivot. Mutarim b'chatzirot, vesarim b'mavoi. They can carry between the chatzirot, but they cannot carry out into the mavoi, because they're short of a shituf mivot. Ve'im nishtatfu b'mavoi. On the other hand, if they made a shituf mivot, mutarim kan v'kan. Then they can do both. So it sounds like from the first part of the mission, eruv chatzirot by itself is not sufficient, but a shituf mivot by itself would be sufficient. Irvu b'chatzirot, v'nishtatfu b'mavoi. If they had both, they both had the eruv chatzirot and the shituf mivot, v'shachach achad mivnei chatzir v'lo yirev. In one of the chatzirot, one individual did not contribute to his eruv. Mutarim kan v'kan, they're covered. They're covered because they had the shituf mivot. This person participated in the shituf mivot, even though he didn't participate in the eruv in his chatzir that joins with the other chatzirot. So we have a backup because we have the shituf mivot that backs him up over here, and then we're fine. If mibnei mavoi v'no nishtatef, if one of the parties to the mavoi didn't join in the shituf mivot, mutarim b'chatzirot v'asurim b'mavoi, then because he's a participant in the eruv chatzirot, they can move between the chatzirot and the doors between the chatzirot because he participated in that. On the other hand, since he did not participate in the shituf mivot, they can't carry into the mavoi because he ruins it for them. Shem mavoi the chatzirot kechatzir the batim. This is a line we saw earlier that the Gemara quoted with regards to Shmuel, which is that a mavoi has a status to the chatzirot the way that a chatzir has to the batim. The relationship between a house to a chatzir is the same relationship between a chatzir to the mavoi. Right now, Gemara says, Mani, who authored our Mishnah? If you remember before, we had the machlok between Rav Meir and the Chachamim as to whether shituf mivaot obviates the need for an eruv chatzirot, or the other way around, an eruv chatzirot obviates the need for a shituf mivaot. So who authored our Mishnah? Gemara says, it's obvious that it's Rabbi Meir is the author of our Mishnah. Why? Damar, be'inan eruv, or be'inan shituf. You require both eruv chatzerot and shituf. That's the first line in our Mishnah. The first line in our Mishnah says, if they made an eruv chatzerot, and they did not make a shituf mevaot, then you're allowed to carry between the chatzerot, because they have a chatzerot, but you can't carry into the mavoi, because you're missing a shituf mevaot. That is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir requires you to have both, and not just one of them. So that's him who says, ve'inam eruv, ve'inan shituf. So, ema mitziyato. What about the next case in the Mishnah? Vim nishtatfu b'mavoi mutarim kan v'kan. The next line in the Mishnah says, if they make a shituf mevaot, you're covered. Shituf mevaot covers both the mavoi and the chatzerot. Who's that like? Aton Rabbanon. That sounds like the Rabbanon, the Amrei b'chada sagya. That's enough to have one of the two. And here you have shita mevaot and it covers everything. Halo kashu. The Gemara says, that's not a question. Im nishtatfu nami kamar. You read the Mishnah wrong. The Mishnah is like this. If they make an eruv chatzerot and not a shituf mevaot, then they can only carry in the chatzerot or between the chatzerot, not in the mavoi. Ve'im nishtatfu, which is the next line in the Mishnah, means if in addition to the eruv chatzerot they made a shituf mevaot, then they can carry everywhere. So that's basically Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says if you have both in place, then you can carry. So that's the continuation of Rabbi Meir's position. So Gemara says that's what it means. Im nishtatfu nami kamar. It means not in addition to the first piece, the Erev Chazero, not separately. Same as Seifa. What about the latter half of the Mishnah? The latter half of the Mishnah says, Evru b'chazerot, v'nishtatfu b'mavoy, shechach achad mibnei chazer v'lo yirev. So here you have a case where they have Erev Chazerot and Shituf Mevaot, and one of the parties forgot to join into the Erev Chazerot. Mutarim kan v'kan. Then they are mutar in both places. Now what you have is, you have a shituf mevaot and eruv chatzerot, but the eruv chatzerot failed because this guy didn't join them. Yet, the Mishnah says, mutarim kan v'kan. So that's a problem now, because now it sounds, again, we're like leaving Rabbi, but now it sounds like we're like the Rabbanan again, not like Rabbi Meir, because we're allowing the shituf mevaot to cover the eruv chatzerot. Hey chidami, what's the case? Idolo batil. If he's not Nevakaler's Rishut, he doesn't relinquish control of his property, am I mutarim? Then why does it work? El Abshita de Batil. It's clear that he gave up relinquished control. So Ema Seifa. Then what about the fourth case in the Mishnah? Which is Shachach Rabbe Mibnei Bavoy Velo Nishtatfu Mutarim Bechatzerot Vasarim B'Mavoy. In a case where he forgets to join in the Mavoy or the Shittiv Mevot, then the Chatzerot are fine, but the Shittiv Mevot is not fine. Ve the Batil. If he relinquished control of his property, am I a Sarim b'mavoy? Why does he ruin the mavoy? Why isn't giving up his control sufficient over here? Tosfot points out over here that this is even a liba demand amar that you cannot do bitul reshut mechatzer lechatzer. We said before Shmuel is of the opinion, at least going to Rava, that you can't do bitul reshut mechatzer lechatzer. Over here, you're doing bitul reshut. He owns property in his chatzer, in his courtyard, and now he's doing a bitul that affects the mavoy. He's doing it for the benefit of the parties of the Mavui, who all come from other Chatzerot. So why does it work? So Tosfot over here distinguishes between multiple Chatzerot and a Mavui. He says a Mavui is an area where everyone has equal ownership. Every party to the Mavui, anybody who's in a Chatzer there, has equal opportunity to be a part of that Mavui, equal ownership there. And when he's Mevatel's Rishut, it's as if he is a party to all the members of the Mavui. As opposed to when you're two separate Chatzerot, two courtyards, two separate courtyards. When he's mevatel reshut and it affects the other courtyard, he doesn't have rights in the other courtyard. He's not a member of the other courtyard. So that's what we call mevatel reshut mechatzer lechatzer. That is not allowed. But if he's mevatel reshut and it affects the mavoi, that is permissible because it's not considered to be chatzer lechatzer because they're all equal owners in the mavoi. So now, if that's the case, vi debato amaya serim b'mavoi. V'chei teima kasav Rabbi Meir in bitul reshut b'mavoi. If you think Rabbi Meir thinks you can't do bitul reshut when it comes to mavoi, Atanya, we have an explicit braita that says the opposite. Sharei bitel lachem reshuto divri Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, in that context, talking about a mavoi, says that you can be mevatel reshut, or that he did was mevatel reshut. Ela pshita lo batil. So now it's clear that he was not mevatel reshut. Umidaseifa lo batil reshesha nami lo batil. That's the case in the latter two cases in the Mishnah, are cases where he did not relinquish control. And if that's the case, those cases are cases where we say, in the third case in the Mishnah, a case where he forgot to become a part of the Erev Chatzerot, and nevertheless we say that the Shittuv Mevaot covers, and everything is fine. That is like the Rabbanan, not like Rabbi Meir. So now you have it. Reisha v'Seifa Rabbi Meir. The Reisha and the Seifa Rabbi Meir. The Reisha being the first two cases in the Mishnah, where we said that you need both Shituf Mevaot and Eruv Chatzerot for it to work. If you're missing the Shituf Mevaot, it doesn't work. We were able to explain the second case in the Mishnah, Nishtafu means Shituf Mevaot on top of an Eruv Chatzerot. There it does work. You have the fourth case in the Mishnah, is a case where he forgot to join in the Mavoi. And we say if he forgot to join in the Mavoi, the Erev Chatzirot is fine, but the Mavoi is no good. All of those sound like Rabbi Meir. We have that case in the middle, sounds like the Rabbanu. It's a case where he forgot to join the Erev Chatzirot, but he did join the Shittu Mavot. There the Mishnah says everything's covered. The Shittu Mavot covers everything. That sounds like the Chachamim. So it's Reishav and Sefer Rabbi Meir, Mitziyata Rabbanan. You have an inconsistency in the authorship of the Mishnah. The Gemara says, no, Kula Rabbi Meir here. It's all Rabbi Meir. But time am I. What's Rabbi Meir's reasoning? Why does Rabbi Meir require you to have both the Shittu Mavot and Rabbi Meir of Chatzirot? We already spoke about this. Mi'ikar Adin, Rabbi Meir agrees that the Shittu Mavot covers everything in the Chatzirot and the other way around. The Rabbi Chatzirot covers the Shittu Mavot. Why does he make you put out both? Shalot ishtakach Torat Eruv. So you don't forget about an Eruv, or you don't forget about a Shittu Mavot. If you obviate the need for one, then the kids are going to grow up and not know about one of these institutions. So he forces you to have both, even though technically, halachically, it's not necessary. So in this case, it actually turns out to be a little different, which is, time am I, I'm a Rabbi Meir, being an Eruv, ubin and Shituf, why do you need both? Sholishkakak Torat Eruv minatinokot, so they don't forget about it. V'hocha, came under Ruba Irvu lo mishtakacha. In this case, one party forgot to join into the Eruv. They made an Eruv. It's not that they didn't make an Eruv, they made an Eruv. And they tried, they have an Eruv there. The Shittu Mavot really covers everything, halachically. Why do you need an Eruv? Because we don't want anybody to forget about Eruv. They did make an Eruv. This one guy forgot to join the Eruv. So technically it ruins the Eruv halachically. But you don't need a halachic Eruv over here. The whole point of the Eruv here is just to know the kids know that you have an Eruv. That they still know because there is an Eruv here. And so because of that, Rabbi Meir will be makil in this case that when you have a Shittu Mavot and Eruv Chatzirot, but there's something wrong with the Eruv Chatzirot, that's okay because you've accomplished what you needed. You've accomplished the halachic solution, which is the Shittu Mavot. And you've accomplished the other issue, which is Shalot Tishtaka Torat Eruv, by having Eruv there, even though it's not a perfect Eruv. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Lotznei Tuchot Zuluzu. Don't write in our Mishnah that the Chatzirot actually open to each other. Hey, Amar Rav Gana, Rav Lotznei Tuchot Zuluzu. Rav himself did not, in our Mishnah, have that line that it says they were open to each other. You could Amar Rav Gana Gufei. Lotani Ptuchot Zuluzu. He didn't say it, that Rav said it, but he himself said it, that they do not have that line in the Mishnah. Our Mishnah, the case where we established was, you have multiple Chatzirot opening up into a Mavoi, and then you have those Chatzirot, each have, they have doorways between them, that you can move between them. So Rav comes along and says, don't have that line in our Mishnah. When our Mishnah says, Chamesh Chatzirot, you should skip the next line, which is Ptuchot Zuluzu. Ptuchot Mavoi should be the next line. It should be Chamesh Chatzirot, Ptuchot Mavoi, and not Ptuchot Zuluzu. Eliminate that from our Mishnah. Why? I'm really a by the Rav Yosef. My time. Lotznei Ptuchot Zuluzu. Why is Rav so adamant about the fact that the Mishnah should not have that line in it? What position of Rav leads him to believe that that's the wrong way to read the Mishnah? Kasabar. It must be because he holds Koshituf She'ein Machniso Umotzio Derech Ptachim V'mavoi Lav Shmei Shituf. He says that you cannot have a Shituf Mivot unless the Shituf Mivot was made in such a manner. Which is, Rashi says, it Tosfot says that it's a little too extreme what Rashi is saying, it's not necessarily necessary, but Rashi basically says that when they put together the Shittu Mavot, they have to carry it from the Chatzer, the item that they're going to put into the Shittu Mavot, they have to carry it from the Chatzer into the Mavoi, from the Mavoi into the next Chatzer to collect from them, and then from that Chatzer out into the next Chatzer, until you get to the final Chatzer where you're going to leave it. So, but you have to go in and out of the Chatzerot into the Mavoi. Tosfot says it's a little extreme. He doesn't think you have to do from each one in and out, that as long as they all join in the Shittu Mavot, then they take it out to the Mavoi and then bring it into a final Chatzer, that's enough. But what Rav's problem is, what happened here is, as Rashi says, V'hocha naim chayish Rav, duma maile derech ptachim shbeneihem. What's our fear here? Our fear here is that they won't go out to the Mavoi. They'll make the Shittu Mavot without ever going out to the Mavoi. They're going to do it through the doorways between them. They'll make a Shittu Mavot and never enter the Mavoi. And that will disqualify the Shittu Mavot, because Rav believes the Shittu Mavot must go to the Mavoi. It must pass through the Mavoi. If it doesn't pass through the Mavoi, it's not considered to be a Shittu Mavot. So that's Rav Yosef's explanation for Rav's reasoning why you can't have Tuchot Luzu Luzu. The way Rashi explains it actually turns out that even if you have a Shittu Mavot, and even if you took it out to the Mavoi, it still wouldn't work. Because we're Chayish. Rav is Choshesh. They're going to do it through the doorways between them.
So what's the solution?
Oh, Tosu basically asked that question. How are you going to ever have this machloka between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim? Meir and Chachamim argue in a case where you can both do an Erev Chatzirot between them and a Mavoi. According to this position, there is no case like that. Because Rav will never let you have a Shittu Mavot in a case where you have doorways between you. So where's the case? So Tosfot says that would be a case where you have windows between the chatzerot. They don't have doors, but rather windows between them. When you have windows between them, we already said if they're 4x4 tefachim, you can make a joint eruv between them. But it's not something where you would move items from one chatzer to the other through the window. Because you don't have a doorway. So there you would take it out to the mavoi. We're not worried about you taking it through the doorways. On the other hand, you are able to bring together the chatzerot. So that's what Tosfot would say the case, according to Rav, where Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim argue. Or a case where you have both Erev Chatzerot and Shittim Vot, it's a case where there's a chalon, there's a window there. Other than that, if there's a doorway there, we won't let you do it because of this chashash. Even if you do the Shittim Vot properly. Eitavei, is that really true? Balabayit shaya shutaf l'shchenav l'zebeyayim l'zebeyayim. The previous Mishnah. You have a balabayit who's a partner, business partner, with his two neighbors. One with wine and one with wine. Ein tuchim la'arev. They don't have to make any roof. And we know that the Eruv over there doesn't mean an Eruv Chatzerot, but it means a Shittuv Mevot. How do we know that? So I'm at wine. Wine only works for Shittuv Mevot. It does not work for Eruv Chatzerot. So we're not talking, we know we're talking about Shittuv Mevot. And yet it says that they don't have to do anything. Their business partnership suffices in order to be the Shittuv Mevot. So over there, they didn't take it out. So when I says, Hatam Da'afke Vayuli, Enochanami, that's, you know what they did? And when they were putting together the business partnership, they carried it out, they brought it in, it went out into the Mavoi. It went out into the Mavoi, and that's why it works here. So Gemara says, that true? Ketzad mishtatfim b'mavoi. How do you make a shittuv mevot? So when they say, how do you make a shittuv mevot over there, the Mishnah never indicates that they have to take it out into the Mavoi. It just says one person can actually take his own property, his own wine barrel, and say, I am Zakeh. I give rights to everybody in the Mavoi in my barrel of wine. That's it. He doesn't have to do anything. He simply can grant them rights in his wine, and that becomes their joint partnership in the wine. So there you see, you don't have to carry it out. So Gemara says, again, he carried it in, he carried it out. This individual had the barrel of wine, carried it out to the Mavoi, brought it back in, and was Mezakeh all the parties to it. Now, honestly, that's a very difficult answer. That's, as Rashi says, this is a Shinuya Dechikahu. It's a very difficult answer. V'lavi maskana haki. It's definitely not the conclusion of the Gemara. If the Gemara left off here, you would say, wow, this is really a strange answer. It's not the Pashtuta Mishnah in both cases. It's not the Pashtuta Mishnah that they're carrying it in and out. But the Gemara is going to reject it for a different reason. The Gemara is saying, okay, maybe we can come up with the answer. Maybe we come and answer until they get locked in and they say they can't answer like that anymore. And that is Matkifla Rabba Bar Chanan or Rabba Bar Rav Chanan Elamiyata. Hiknulo Pat Bisalo. A case where you grant someone rights to the bread in your basket. Hachanami is a lobby shituf. You're going to say to me it doesn't work as a shittuv mevot because they didn't carry it out to the mavoi and bring it back in. V'chitei ma'ochanami. If you say, yeah, it won't be a shituf. V'ha amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav. B'nei chaburah she'em subim. If you have a bunch of people together that are eating a meal together. V'kidesh aleim ayom. And Shabbat begins. They're on Erev Shabbat. They're sitting at a meal together and all of a sudden the day begins. Hapat sh'ala suchan sumchim aleim mishumei ruv. The bread on the table works for an Eruv. Ramila Mishum Shituf, and some say it even works for the Shituv Mevot. Well, how does it work for Shituv Mevot? Over here, you can't make this claim that Aili V'Afke. They took it in, they took it out. They're sitting at a meal. They're eating together. The person who they're sitting by is the one who provided the food. There's no in and out business over here. It's clear here they're doing a Shituv Mevot, they're going out to the Mavoi. V'amaraba lo pligi. The two Shito, one that says it's good for Shituv Mevot, the one that says it's good for Eruv Chatzerot, they're not arguing. It depends where they're eating the meal. If they're eating the meal in the house, then it could be the Erev Chatzerot, because an Erev Chatzerot has to be placed in one of the houses. The whole point of Erev Chatzerot is dira, is the living space, and living space is only in a house, so you need the bread in the house. So if they're mesubim, if they're eating in the house, then their joint meal can serve as the Erev Chatzerot. Now again, not here that the Baal Bayit actually has to grant them rights in the meal. The fact that they're invited and they're on the same table, that's enough to make it into an Erev Chatzerot. He doesn't have to actually explicitly say that he's mezakeh them in the meal. On the other hand, if they are out eating in the Chatzer, then the Chatzer can only work as a Shittuv Mevot. It cannot work as the Erev Chatzerot, because the Erev Chatzerot has to be placed in the house. The Shittuv Mevot can be in the Chatzer. We saw before Machloket Rashi and the Ri as to what that means. Rashi says that means in the Chatzer, and if you do it in the Bayit, it also works as a Shittuv Mevot. You can have either. Chatzer is just a dispensation. It's a kula that you can do it in the chatzer because the chatzer uses or utilizes the mavoi in that way. But if you did it in the house, it also would work. The Ri said, no, you need to do it in the chatzer and not the house because the chatzer is what connects to the mavoi and not the house. But Rashi says over here that you could do it even in the house. So Elatayim the Rav. What's the reason behind Rav's position here that he doesn't want to have Tuchud Zuluzu in the Mishnah? We said before, oh, it's because Shita Mavoi requires you to go out into the Mavoi. We saw that's not true. We brought enough evidence that's not true. We brought two Mishnayot that sound that way, even though you tried to answer them. And then we finally brought this last Memra where it's clear that you don't need to go out into the Mavoi because they're sitting at a meal. And they make that into their Shituf Mivoot. So if that's the case, that cannot be the reasoning behind Rav's position. Ella, time of the Rav, the Kasavar, Ein Mavoi Nitar Belechi Bikora, Achu Batim V'Chatzerot Petuchim Letocha. That's what we saw before. Lechi and a Korah only work when you have multiple Chatzerot and multiple Batim that are open into the Mavoi. So how does that solve our problem over here? That's really tomorrow's daf. You can see the next line of the Gemara is Gufa. Gemara is going to discuss the machlok between Rav and Shmuel tomorrow. Just for simplicity's sake, it's a machlok between Rashi and Tosafot. How to explain this? I'll just use Rashi's interpretation now, and we'll spend more time on tomorrow on what the solution is. Rashi says, Hana kevin kulam tufim zulazu umarvot yachad derech ptachim. Since all the chatzerot have entranceways between them, but the chatzerot have these entranceways between them, and they can make an eruv that way, it's as if they've dissolved their differentiation. They're no longer considered to be multiple chatzerot. When they make an eruv between them, and they allow themselves to carry from chatzer to chatzer, it becomes like one chatzer instead of multiple chatzerot now. If each one individually made an eruv chatzerot, that's fine. Because then you still have multiple chatzerot that are exiting into the mavoi. And that does not disqualify them from being a multiple chatzerot facing a mavoi. On the other hand, but if they make an eruv between them, through that doorway between them, then they've eliminated their distinction or differentiation as different chatzerot, and they become one chatzer. And now you no longer have multiple chatzerot facing the mavoi, you have one chatzer facing the mavoi, and now you can't be matir the mavoi with a lechi and a korah. That's what Rashi says is Rav's issue over here. What about the fact that we just had a braita that said, Avu b'no and Talmid v'rabo. Avin b'no and Talmid v'rabo are considered to be one entity, yet, as far as the Mavui is considered, they're considered to be multiple entities. So even when we say that they're considered to be one for an Erev Chatzerot, they're still considered to be multiple parties for the Mavui. So Rashi says, this Memra, Rav argues on that braita. He argues on that braita. He doesn't agree with that braita. That's exactly right. That braita says one thing, he's saying something else. Right, Tosafot will take issue with Rashi. I just want to give you some sense of how the Gemara could conclude here. So that's the reason, right? But doesn't want entranceways or ways to access the chatzerot between each chatzer, because then otherwise you're going to make them into a single entity, and you can no longer have them involved over here. So that's why he wants to eliminate that from the mission to say the chatzerot are actually independent, and forced to be independent because there's no connection between them. Because once they're independent and they can have an Erev chatzerot, then the Lechi and Korah can work over here because you have multiple chatzerot exiting into a mavoi. Okay, we'll stop over here.